Welcome to Long Arm Stapler, a podcast about zines. This is episode 8, and I have some real cool guests with me. I have Elle and Andy.
Hello.
Hi.
So, welcome to Long Arm Stapler. Andy was on the last episode and talked about dildos.
Yay!
And today, we're going to talk about some other stuff. So, Elle.
Hi.
Tell us about yourself.
All right. Well, I am a Bay Area native, specifically from San Francisco. I have been making art stuff for almost 15 years. I predominantly worked in photography for about 10 years. And then just in the last couple of years, I've been kind of exploring more of like painting, like other visual arts, mixed media stuff. I've always been a writer. And recently I started to incorporate my visual arts with my writing. So there's a lot of mixed media type installation works that I do. Yeah, besides like my own art practice, I founded an art collective with a bunch of my friends a couple years ago. So we do events and create bodies of work around that. I manage an art gallery in San Francisco, which takes up most of my time these days. So I'm not really making a whole lot of new art, but it's a way for me to stay involved in the art community. I also do writing, like I do the press releases and I do interviews with artists. And then I also do marketing for a gallery in Albany. So I'm an art hoe, that's in a nutshell. And then besides art stuff, I like to garden. I smoke a lot of weed. Not that that's a hobby, but I like doing that. And then recently I bought a bass. So maybe I'll do something with that. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
You're also an organizer.
I'm also an organizer, yeah, specifically for the Bay Area Queer Zine Fest. And I've done like random pop-ups and stuff. I'm just an overall busybody. I think to know me is to know that like I'm never just doing one thing. I'm always doing a million things, and happily so, because I love the community here. And yeah, just like giving voice to people who otherwise wouldn't have, or like giving people a platform. And yeah, so even if I'm not making art, I'm always like supporting it in any way I can.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You are in the show that me and Andy put together this last month of September.
I am.
You are.
I love it. I'm so excited. I was super thrilled that you guys asked me to be part of it. It's like such an interesting concept too. Like, this is a show about zines, but it's all not zines. You know, it's like on a wall. It almost like seems regressive because zines are like really interactive, but this is like, it becomes a precious object, right? Like something that you can't necessarily touch or see, but you still experience.
Well, it's interesting. I think that you use the term precious and like precious objects, because I know for me, one of the things about zines that I fell in love with, because I have a background in fine art, and the thing that I loved about zines was like the lack of preciousness. And so trying to have that translate in a way that it like into an art gallery space in a way that is authentic to the medium of the zine, but also like raising, like literally putting it on a pedestal in some cases, and making people like fully appreciate it for its like true art, like artistic expression. Cause even though, you know, what we love about zines is that they're so accessible and they're not pretentious. They still are like a beautiful art form.
Totally. It takes time. It sometimes takes years to even develop your theme, you know, or just even the materials used, you know, like different types of paper or like printing processes. You know, some people screen print their zines. Like that's that in itself is a whole like art form, like putting together a zine. So
can I ask, when you put the work together that you put in the show, how did that like that relationship between a precious object and between accessible, like, you know, Xerox piece of paper, like how did you think about that when you chose your artwork for this show?
So the zine that I gave you before we started, I was telling Mayra that, I've always written. I've been writing since I could hold a pen and like paper, and, you know, I started just writing my name and then just writing ideas. And over time, I started, you know, do diary entries and then poetry and stuff, but I never really shared that with anybody. And then about a year ago, I started making these mini zines where I wanted to incorporate elements of my photography with the poems that I've written. They're mostly like sentimental, so I feel like the images were in turn like moodier than my usual subject matter. But then for creating work for this show, it was actually, you know, even though I was really excited, it was like a challenge. I was like, I don't know how this is going to translate well. Cause I could just put a picture up on the wall, but I don't just do photo zines anymore. Like what I'm working more is like integrating those two mediums. And so creating the transparency with the text over the images in this installation. I had done something like this similar for a show back last year in September with my collective, where I just kind of, I've always liked collaging. So it was like, oh, I'm going to like collage some like words and other pieces of paper and images together. And then for this, it was like, it was almost like more basic than that. Cause that was like a whole installation where it was just, there was also like sculpture involved. And this was just like, okay, if I could put a zine on like a wall, like how would it look like to me? And this is what happened. And literally like I'd been thinking about it for months, and then like 2 weeks before I was like, all right, I got it. And even up until the day that I delivered the work, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. But that was like the fun part, I think, about putting work together for this show. It's like challenging the medium, you know, like I said, zine like might be really like one dimensional in the sense that like it's pretty straightforward, like a zine. But when you extract the artwork that is actually put into it, like, I don't know, that's what I came up with.
It looks great.
Thank you.
We're going to post pics.
Yay.
Andy, do you want to talk about the show in general? What is this thing that we did this month?
Yeah, I would love to hear about how this came to fruition or how it all came about.
Yeah, there was a lot to that. But yeah, I don't know. I, because I'm relatively new to the zine making thing. And Mayra was one of the first Bay Area zinesters that I met at the Bay Area queer. No, I met you at eBapes first. You were right. You were tabling.
Yeah.
And then yes.
And then you did the reading.
And then I did the reading. Yeah. But so I hadn't had an art show since I moved to California. Mm-hmm. I like hadn't hosted one or shown in one since I was in New York, which was intentional. I like took a break. But when I started making zines again, I, you know, was making a ton of new artwork for the first time. And I loved putting it in the zine format, but I think I missed the party. I missed like the social aspect of like an art show. Mm-hmm. And like being able to see, you know, having something up. It's such a different experience to like have your name on a wall and have a piece of a wall be just for you. And so I like started thinking about it would be cool to do an art show, like a zine themed art show. And so I asked Mayra if they would want like what they thought about that idea and if that was a good idea or not. And Mayra thought it was a good idea too. Yeah. So then we put our noggins together and we both kind of went through our zine collections at home. And then we met again and had like a list of names, and a lot of the names we had were all the same. We both picked out, some were different, but we picked out a lot of the same artists, and you were actually on both of our lists, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not to say I was like surprised, but I was also just like, oh, wow, they like my work enough.
Yeah. But the zine that I have of yours, I think, was with The Collective, which is, did you say the name of it?
It's YS800. Yeah, and it's... For those who are curious, there's down the street, like literally a block away, there's this wig shop called Young's Wig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Young's Wigs.
And we were like, oh, that's funny. And we've just been calling it Young Swigs. And so there's also this 800 bus that's the night bus that travels through like San Francisco to the East Bay. And we were like, oh, we should be like East Bay 800. And then we were like, well, that's too like specific because mm-hmm. Some of us in the collective aren't from the East Bay. And then Natalie Sui, who's one of my best friends, they were part of the collective and they were like making a joke about that place, Young's Wigs. And like, oh, we should just be Young Swigs.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and then the 800 thing got added onto it. But yes, so it was a collective.
Yeah, work. I always thought it was some sort of like ISO humor.
ISO?
I thought it was like film humor. I thought it was like,
I get it. All
like photography.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It seems like a lot of the artists.
It's predominantly photographers.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I always thought it was like a film speed joke, like for reference, but.
Uh-huh. I like that too, though.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's where my brain went. But that scene was it was a split scene that you did with someone else, and it was all photos.
Yeah, with Rich Diaz. We're both photographers in the collective. Well, like I said, most of us are photographers, but we did that collaborative scene. So that's tight that you have that.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to see. I was very intrigued by the way you incorporated the text into this show specifically. I feel, and hearing you describe it too, I feel like it was a very thoughtful and mindful deconstruction and reconstruction of a zine spread. I think you did such a novel job with it. I love the way that essentially you turned the wall into a piece of paper because the text, because of the transparency. Mm-hmm. So the wall then becomes like part of the art as well. But you just totally, yeah, it's such an interesting breakdown and rebuilding of the zine page. But it's interesting that the incorporating the text is a newer thing because you do such a nice job of it in it right here in this room. And I'm excited to see, you know, the new zine that you're working on right now where you're working with it again. Was that when you started incorporating text, was that like how did that start working for you where you combined the two mediums of writing, which you'd always done, and photography, which you'd been doing for 10, 15 years?
It was really funny because it kind of, once I started doing it, it was like, why haven't I been doing this forever? Like, I think my writing, I mean, it's all super personal. So that's probably the big reason why I've never really shared it with anyone. It's super vulnerable, explicit sometimes, you know, and if you spend time in my life, you know, you would know who I'm writing about or like what events in my life I'm like writing about, you know? So once I started to incorporate them with my photography, the way I approach photography is like I do like a lot of event photography and I love like candid work. And I think that's like me removing myself from a situation mm-hmm. and kind of just like admiring things for like what they are, almost like voyeuristic. Mm-hmm. So it was like really interesting to have this like really like vulnerable, introspective version of myself and like the more like mindfully visual part of myself like intersect. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard at first because being objective about your work is hard. But then once I started to combine things, I think I started with one of these like poetry zines and I was like, oh, actually like my visual art is really, it's similar. It's like different output, but it all comes from the same place, mm-hmm. right? Like the way that I approach the world is really, it's all kind of the same.
Right.
So, but it was, I would say it was like kind of hard for me to come to that creative choice.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really great that you were able to kind of, I don't know, just like take everything, even though it was happening, it's happening same place, but different places. And you're still able to like, channel.
Yeah. The zine that I'm about to release. It was kind of a collaborative zine. I made like a call for submissions on Instagram and got some responses. And so even that's been like this really interesting challenge of incorporating like other people's like visual arts or like text mm-hmm. into this work. And then having my work interjected as well and having it all make sense. Not that there isn't like a million things that you can do with zines or books even. It's like I like pushing myself creatively to kind of bridge those those mediums, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, I want to do more of it. So I'm happy I'm getting positive feedback. That's yeah. great.
No, I think, yeah, the way so far, I mean, even just this installation and the way that you did it was just, you really thought about it. It's interesting. I mean, all the artists in this show, we tried to keep things very loosey-goosey and just like whatever your interpretation of a zine art show is, whatever mm-hmm. that means to you, we support it. We were here for all interpretations of what that could possibly be.
Because I think it's especially because we had different, like we had a very similar goal in that we wanted to showcase the different. It was all.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been done before. Everything's been done before, but I've never seen a zine. I've never been to a zine themed art show before.
Me neither.
I didn't either. I think mine's like pretty literal though. Like, like now that you mention it, I kind of did just like
no, you
spread like.
But you, it's beautiful. It's like so you broke like the way you broke it down and reconstructed it. I know I've said that like three times. I mean, it was very mindful and very thoughtful, and I think it really honors, because I love zines. Like I love them. They are at this moment by far my favorite medium. And so this is I never could have imagined it, but it's such a beautiful display of what I and we had sort of hoped for, mm-hmm. you know, a truly creative response to the theme of a zine art show.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah.
I just, like I said, I really just racked my brain like every single day for like months. I'm like, how am I going to do this?
No, it's so good. And the thing is for me, and I don't know if you can relate to this or not, and I don't want to project if you can't, but because I also have recently started combining words with my imagery. It's very similar, actually. I've been a big journal or diary writer person since mm-hmm. As long as I can remember, from like the age of I could write, I was keeping some sort of a journal, and I didn't really particularly share it. I mean, I might read my sad poems to my friends at sleepovers, but I certainly wasn't like submitting anything anywhere. And then I went to school for photography and fine art. And so that was like art with a capital A, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Everything is so particular, pristine. And I felt like in that environment, there was not a ton of wiggle room for mixed media or incorporating text with your images.
Yeah.
That was at least the schools that I went to were very hoity-toity about it. And so for me to break down that negativity that for is bullshit, I mean, it's just elitist crap.
It's just so rigid, you know?
That's, yeah.
I have a fine art education too, and it's really funny that like they really want you to stay within your medium, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think part of that is, you know, they want you to master something mm-hmm. before moving on to something else. But I think, at least for me, my art journey has never really been linear. Mm-hmm. And so when I started combining mediums, it made more sense
right.
than staying within my box, you
right.
know what I mean? So yeah, it's, I can definitely relate
yeah.
to that.
It's just, it's really, it's something it's only been, like I said, I'm new to the zine making thing. So it's only been about a year or so. I think the first zine where I combined images with, I guess I did do it for my very first one. But when I started integrating them like on the same page, mm-hmm. Which is how this reads, very, you know, they're literally overlapping. When I started combining them on the same page was for my swimming zine. And I remember.
Oh, I love that zine.
Oh,
it's so good.
I read it. Is that the one I read on your, right? Isn't that
yeah,
the one I read on the,
so.
On the other podcast? Yeah. So that was like. That was my sort of breakthrough where I was like, you know what, this is what feels right. Like this feels right to mm-hmm. do it this way. And I still sort of struggle with it sometimes though. Especially when I'm working on collage is very new to me too. And I'm like, is this, am I doing this right?
Right.
I just don't have the context as much for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I studied photography and I, you know, but I never studied collage. So it's just really inspiring to see someone doing it in such a sophisticated but still authentic way.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm about DIY.
Yeah, it's sure. It's very it's DIY, very but it's not messy. It's clean DIY.
It is. I don't know. It's that's so funny that you said that because I think of my work as like that, you know, or even when I was thinking about like coming to this podcast, like I almost had like imposter syndrome about coming around. Like, am I really an authority to talk about zines? Because, you know, like I might mock things up by hand or, you know, like make like little paper mock-ups of my zines, but then ultimately like I put them together in Photoshop and I digitally print them out. Like I'm not doing the old school, like cut and paste thing. But that's just like my style.
Right.
I, you know, I've come to terms with, you know, it doesn't make me less authentic. If anything, no. That's just what feels natural to me.
Well, and I feel like that's the thing is with traditional zine making, you know, at the time when they started making them in the 30s, right, with sci-fi mm-hmm. fanzines. But when the zine, as we think about them, the cut and paste, more like Riot Girl movement, I would say a lot of this is inspired from that time period of zine making. But cut and paste was what was available and easiest to them. You know, the whole idea of zine making is it's supposed to be easy. You know, it's not supposed to be a big challenge. It's supposed to be, it's supposed to flow from you very without effort. And so for folks nowadays who maybe are more comfortable and have more access to computers for, you know, maybe you don't have as much room for crafting in your Bay Area apartment, but you've got room on your computer for preview or whatever. So I think it's very authentic for the zine making medium to do what feels natural and right and is simple for you. And so to try and mimic someone else's technique because that's what zine making is about. It's not what zine making is about, you know?
Totally.
So I know for me, it's a combination of the two where I'll do a lot of my layouts by hand. Like for that swimming zine, I laid everything out by hand and then I scanned it and printed them again, you know, and I'll do the same thing where I'll make a collage and I'll make it by hand and then I'll scan it. And maybe I'll edit it in Photoshop for like 5 minutes afterwards just to make things exactly the way I want them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great for folks to do what is truly their natural process, as opposed to trying to fit into the artistic process of artists who they admire.
Totally. Yeah. I think just like making your own way too is part of this like culture, like mm-hmm. this practice. And what I really like gravitated towards the medium, like even as a kid, just like finding a zine, like, you know, people give away zines for free. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm always like really like trepidatious about it. I'm like, can I just give you like a dollar, you know, but like, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. It's to make it accessible and whatever that means to people. It's like, that's how you're going to distribute it and create it.
Someone got really mad at me at the Long Beach Zine Fest. Were you there for that? Kristen was there for that. Someone got very mad at me because they asked me how much my zine cost. And I said, it's my most expensive zine because it's hand bound by chainmail rings, which,
oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, you know, it's sliding scale, but for this one, I'm asking for about seven. And she was like, what do you mean it's sliding scale? She's like, you need to tell me how much it costs and you need to be more firm. And I was like, okay, well, do you have $7? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, do you feel willing to spend $7 on this scene? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well then it's $7. Like, but it's a hard concept for people to grasp sometimes if they're so, you know, they're so ingrained in capitalistic culture that the idea of making something for the pure joy of making it and sharing it is really hard for some people to grasp.
I think so. I think also, I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't exactly know like this person's intentions, but like saying that, because right. Honestly, like that's like a weird comment to say to
aggressive.
Somebody, right?
They could have also just wanted to like compensate you for like your work.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, like, let yourself
take up that space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Like value yourself. Right. I don't know. I work in an art gallery and a lot of artists, you know, they quote unquote, know their worth. And then a lot just straight up, like, don't know what to price things mm-hmm. at, you know, even really established artists still have a hard time, you know, raising their prices to reflect their hard work and all the progress that they've done. I would never come at someone aggressively for having a sliding scale price, but part of me also feels like this person would just wanted you to, right. to take a firm stance on what it is.
I'm sure their intentions were good.
Right.
At least knowing the people who go to Long Beach.
Right. No, the whole day was amazing. Yeah, like, this is not me. I mean, the whole day was phenomenal.
Until the car. I know.
But that was...
The zine aspect of it was...
And honestly, I'm full circle. I'm hoping to get new prints for the print fair on Saturday.
Yeah. It's
at the gallery where mm-hmm. you work.
That's one of the galleries I work at, yeah.
But I'm using a photo that I took on the side of the road, and I wrote a poem on the side of the road. I had a great time.
Oh, wow. It was very inspiring.
But that was just me.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that... So for context, Andy and I drove down with our friend Kristen for Long Beach Zine Fest. We left after the opening of this show. We're just going to deal with it. We left the next day. We were originally, me and Kristen were going to leave after the opening of the art show. And then I was like, I'm not 22 anymore. Like, go to sleep. So then we head down. But we have to drive back immediately after Long Beach Zine Fest because I have work at 9 o'clock the next day. And, you know, I'll get enough sleep, whatever.
Right.
So we're driving up the 5. I had been having, like, some car issues all weekend, but I thought it was just the computer in my car because it's a computer car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it started making, like, a grinding noise. So we pulled over.
No, it was we were on a mountain and the entire car started shaking.
It was making a grinding noise.
And the shaking was also alarming, highly alarming. We were all the way in the left lane.
It started smoking. That's when I got really
concerned. That's when And I was talking about, I think I was saying, I was like, we were reflecting on the beautiful weekend. I was like, thank you. I think I was thanking you for driving. I was like, I never would have made it to the beautiful Long Beach.
You definitely, And you've been talking about how great Long Beach Zine Fest was.
I think I don't know what happened, but. And the car started shaking. Mary did great, stayed very calm.
Yes.
Just casually got across 5 lanes of traffic on the side of a mountain in a shaking, smoking car.
If you're familiar with the Grapevine.
That's what.
Oh, you guys were on the Grapevine?
Yeah, we're on the Grapevine.
Oh my god.
Literally, like, on the side of the mountain.
That's
a tumbleweed.
A huge ass tumbleweed. It was like 5 feet by 5 feet.
I've seen those, yeah.
I've never seen a tumbleweed. I don't think I've ever seen one. Just the plastic bag tumbleweed.
Right, or the tumbleweaves. Those are things. But no, those tumbleweeds get pretty darn big. I used to drive a bug when I lived in Antioch, and these tumbleweeds would, like, be the size of my car.
Yeah, it hit a good Samaritan who tried to help us. But...
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
It, like, they were, like, standing, and it, like, hit them from behind. So it just kind of, like, landed there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It probably hurt.
You could make a whole zine out of this adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I literally wrote a poem and took a beautiful I think it's a beautiful
photograph. I can't wait to see it.
I'm very humble, obviously. Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Well, Saturday.
I don't know if it's going to be ready by then, but it would be nice.
Well, there's always the next.
There's always another thing.
There's
eBay's
coming up.
East Bay Alternative Book and Zine Fest coming at you December 7th. Yeah, everyone apply. I'll finish this episode before applications are closed, but applications close on October 15th.
Excellent. Cool. I've been thinking, I actually haven't done like any zine fest really this year. So that's mostly like a collective thing. We were all just super burnt out, like a year and a half of doing like every single Bay Area zine thing event. There's a lot of them. I think at 1 month we had like 3 or something where we had to like, there was 8 people in the collective at the time and we would like split up like who couldn't do all things. But because I was like the main like coordinator of everything, it's like I had to be at all of them. And this was when I was working freelance and had the time, but it was still very stressful. There's a lot of, I mean, it's tight. There's so many avenues for people to share their work, especially like DIY work, you know. It's almost like a job in it.
It is. No, it 100% is.
Yeah. Long Beach was my third weekend in a row. And just weekends, I felt like I was
right, because you had
worn the fuck down.
San Francisco, OC,
and then SF, and then Long Beach. There's so much going on all the time.
And San Diego's eaten. Well, you're not going to San Diego. No. I'm going to San Diego.
I'm done till next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah.
Nice.
We'll do all that at the end of this. There are so many zine fest.
Yeah,
we gotta do shows.
And I have a zine fair coming up. Actually,
ooh, do tell.
Yeah. So, new zine project on the horizon, or it's completed, and now we're waiting to do the event. First Amendment Gallery, the gallery that I manage in San Francisco, coordinated this project with Knighted Life, a zine publisher based out of Richmond.
I didn't realize they were out of Richmond.
Well, so I think they started in Richmond, and Nick, the founder, he's lived in Alameda, he's in Richmond, so like mm-hmm. it's kind of like East Bay based, right. But like that's where they boast that they're we started in Richmond. But yeah, so me and Nick have been friends for a while and had this idea to make a zine together for years, way before I started working at this gallery. And then once I started working there and had this like access to a space and funding, we were like, okay, let's make this zine happen. And because the gallery that I work at is predominantly like a graffiti and street art gallery, we wanted it to be like graffiti based content. So we did an open call through our social media channels, which I think First Amendment has like 25,000 followers mm-hmm. or something like that. So we got over 200 submissions from like all over the world, and we asked for action shots shot on film or captured on film, and it was really good. Like people, like some people like did not get it. They were like, how are you going to print this and how is it film? And you know, like the two people, like the digital based people were like, how does this work? And the film people were like, how does this work?
Right.
It's like combining the analog world with the digital world. But yeah, no, we curated it, put it together. It looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Nick did a stellar job at laying it all out. And then on October 12th, it's a Saturday, we're going to do a zine release for it and then a mini zine fair along with like an exhibition of some of the photos that are in the
so cool.
The zine. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool. The zine is called Last Night, which was like a combination of like Knighted Life mm-hmm. and then like the gallery's First Amendment / 1 AM. So we're like, oh, it's like a combination of both worlds. Yeah. So hopefully this is something that we'll do like once a year, just because we always get submissions, like 1 AM always get submissions from people like, here's like my photo of like some graffiti or like me doing graffiti and stuff. So it's like a nice way to tap into the community. Like, even though we are like, you know, like a hoity toity gallery, it's like, it's, you know, we get a lot of the content from like our immediate community, the street art community, graffiti and, but yeah, the zine itself looks like beautiful. I'm really excited to share it. And I'm like really excited that I got to even, you know, like when you have an idea and it actually like happens, like, you know, kind of like this show you guys put on here. Yeah. So that's like current zine news stuff for me that I'm really proud of. So hope you guys can be there.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
It's Saturday?
It's a Saturday, October 12th. Yeah.
Okay.
If you guys are around, if not, the exhibition will be up for like a month. You guys can roll through, pick up a zine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Bay Area Queer Zine Fest is coming up. And I think that's like the other thing I'm working on mm-hmm. zine related wise.
Yeah. Let's talk about Queer Zine Fest.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Because I love talking about Queer Zine Fest and because you've been there since the beginning.
I have, actually. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were like the first person who reached out to me about doing Zine Fest, I think.
Well, I think you had posted like some sort of like post on like a zine board on Facebook or something, and you were like, you know, I have this idea for a queer zine fest because there isn't really that, you know, like, and I just thought it was like like a no-brainer. Well, duh, like why isn't there a queer zine fest? You know, I mean, I think the arts world for some people might be like inherently queer, or you know what I mean? Or like it's a platform for people to just be their authentic selves and not really like, I don't know. There's, it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, there's no like right or wrong way to make artwork, but the fact that there wasn't in the Bay Area anyways, a platform specifically for queer artists to showcase their artwork, you know, where it's not just, you know, we're, it's not like we're just like allowing people to show, it's like, this is your space, like,
right,
you know, like claiming space within this community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that is so cool. And I think at that point I'd never, well, I was a freelance curator for a while. So I had done like art shows and stuff, but this scene, for at least the way I envisioned it, it was so much bigger than me. And like, it, yeah, which I think we planned it for like, what, 5 months?
Yeah, we started in like January and it was in June.
Yeah, no. And I mean, it was beautiful. Like, it, I mean, it was definitely stressful at points, that first one, but I think we did a great job and the community really needed it. And I'm so happy I was able to connect with you. And Mayra, and I consider you a good friend. Like,
yeah,
I love you. You're wonderful. And I'm so glad that really the love of zines and, you know, giving people a voice or a platform, like that's something that we both share in
common. We like super clicked on like all those levels.
Yeah.
Like immediately. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I think we're both very like-minded and we have like similar work ethics. So it like worked out. And yeah, this is going to be our third one.
Third one.
That's January, wild.
Yeah. You're telling me.
I know. Time just flies, man.
January 12th, 2020. At Humanist Hall in Oakland, third Bay Area Queer Zine Fest.
Is that the date, January 12th?
We're on the calendar, yeah.
Oh my god.
We're somebody's. I was giving a lot of padding.
I see. You were like, mush.
I needed something on.
Everything else would be, yeah.
I need crazy. Something to hold me accountable to, like, yeah, we're having someone do the art right now, and then once the flyer's done, we're going to announce the fest.
So good.
We're opening applications soon. I'm so excited to be working on it again.
Can I just say Mayra is a superstar when it comes to organizing stuff? Like, really, you're an inspiration to me. I'm like, how do you just go to work and then like come to this? And you always just have such a good attitude. And honestly, sounds kind of dumb, but a good attitude will make me like want to work through even like the toughest shit. Like,
Thank you.
I love working with you on this. It's been cool. I've met so many like neat, interesting people and creative people. And I've had people come up to me since the first one and be like, you know, like, I've never done a zine fest before. And like, thank you guys for like giving me that voice or, you know, that.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's your first zine fest.
It was my, yeah. So I think it's, I'm putting my timeline together. I met you at the first one.
Okay.
That's where I met you. Was at the first year because I had this pin. I think I lost it.
Oh, cool.
I think it fell off my fanny pack. But I had that pin, which was 2017. 2017 would have been the first one.
Yes.
And that's where I met you.
2017.
Yeah, I met you. You were still doing Queer Anxiety.
Queer Anxiety Babies was my old distro with Kristen.
You were still doing that, and that's where I met you. And I was like, hi, Anna. I just forced myself upon you.
I remember this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, hi, what's up? What's new? Like, what's going on? What's the 411? I think I literally asked you what the hot item was today. And you were like, literally nothing. Leave me alone.
No. Mira was very stressed out that day.
No,
you know what? Maybe you weren't stressed out.
No, I was incredibly stressed out.
At that point in our friendship, I hadn't seen you just be so like on high alert about everything.
You were in charge.
I know, and that was scary.
You were the big boss.
Yeah, that was my first time like being in charge of such a thing.
Yeah.
And things were like, I don't want to be like, it was seamless. Everything was fine.
It
but,
was
like,
not.
It was not. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you like,
it was not. I remember.
Oh God. A lot of it was like, you and I just in my apartment, because remember that whole week before the first one, Ben was out of town,
mm-hmm.
and I had the apartment to myself, and my work made me take a vacation.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you had some traumatic stuff happen that year.
I needed the vacation in hindsight, but like at the time I was like, no, fuck you. But then I was like, oh, I'm just going to work on Zine Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we made a moon, and I still talk about that fucking moon.
I still have the moon. People are so impressed by it.
I'm going to make a moon for work. Can I borrow it?
Oh yeah. You can just, yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Borrow it.
Hell yeah.
Chilling in my studio.
That saves me so much work.
Yeah. We're going to try to make
moons. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Sure.
Do you remember the moon? It's okay. I'll explain it to you. It was a full moon.
Uh-huh,
it was
with craters.
Like, with craters, it was like 5 feet wide. It was
like 3 feet wide, 3 by 2 maybe. It's a big.
I imagine it very large and angry. Just this like giant me-sized moon, but it was probably like 3 by 2.
Yeah, it was big. It was an undertaking.
Paper mache, we did it, what, 24 hours before?
Yeah.
12 hours before?
You know what? It might have even taken us like 2 nights to do it because we had to lay it all out, fill it up, and then paper mache, and then go back and paint it.
Yeah.
So, like...
And then we threw glitter on it.
Yeah.
And then we stuck a trans flag in it.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of that movie.
I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, it's cool. It's just in my studio, and people are always like, did you make that? I'm like, I did, actually. I'm glad we did that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I can't believe it's been 3 years, or we're going to do our third year.
Yeah. Well, and so, yeah, I met you at the first one, and then the second one was the first Zine Fest I ever tabled, ever.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. And I think I told the story. I definitely told the story on the last podcast. I probably shouldn't tell it again because I already told it. I'll just do that. So, basically, I got rejected at first, which was fine because I literally have made one zine in my entire life for the application. And then I got an email like three days before the Zine Fest that like somebody dropped out. Like, do you want half a table? And I had literally no zine. I had no zines made. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I definitely want that table. Yep. I can do that. Sure. And then I made 4 zines.
Hey.
Yeah. And I printed them the morning of. I found I like didn't know about the 24-hour FedEx yet. So I
in San Francisco.
Yeah. I didn't know about it yet. So at the time, the night before, I was at FedEx in Emeryville, which closes early on Saturday. Like, it was at 7 or 8. And then I ran to Office Max and their machines. Everyone's machines were down. So then there's one coffee shop in Berkeley that's open at 9 a.m. And I was there Sunday morning at 8:30 with a coffee. And I printed all my zines the morning of.
You know what? Classic Zinester move.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before recording about how Zinesters, you put everything off and it either works out really fucking well. Or if things kind of disaster, we're supposed to learn from that lesson.
Right.
And, we don't because we keep doing that.
Yeah.
Or, I don't like. To me, when I think of zine culture, it's part of it is it's kind of supposed to look sloppy or, it's loose,
Right,
loose.
Right.
But yeah, even I had a zine ready for today and I needed to print it. I stayed up until 4 in the morning working on it and then I couldn't get it printed in time.
And sometimes you just gotta accept it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm glad it's done.
Right.
I just need to go print it.
Right.
So that fire under my ass is this event.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of, that's just a creative thing in general. I think, we have to prioritize our day jobs and responsibilities that sometimes it's not always easy to we have these crazy opportunities that we just say yes and figure the rest out later.
I'm a printmaker now.
Yeah. That's so funny. I love this insight. So when I see you on Saturday, I'm like, oh, okay.
Sure.
Came through.
Yeah.
So I guess you mentioned that I work at another gallery, Abrams Claghorn in Albany, which if you don't know, Albany is a city right above Berkeley.
Hotsy-totsy's
there.
Albany Bowl.
Albany Bowl.
Ivy Room. Those are the three places I'm
in. Albany Bulb also.
Yes.
Lots of graffiti and dogs.
Yes.
Love
it.
My passions.
But yeah, so I organize a mini print fair thing. So Tiny Splendor Press will be there. Angelica Collard, she'll be there. Girl on Bus, another zinester person. And Andy Lake. Yeah.
Printmaker extraordinary.
I do too much. And I like it. Sometimes I hate myself for it. I'm like, why did I say yes?
Yeah.
But we figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that like your first Zine Fest experience was with
Queer Zine Fest. Oh my gosh. It was such a great experience. It was, the whole day was amazing. I like didn't know what to expect because I'd never done them before. And I had 4 zines and I rolled up and everyone was so kind and like sweet and bought my zines and traded for my zines and I made so many friends and it was, I remember after that I was like riding so high. I was so happy. I went to Smokehouse and got a burger and french fries and made my Instagram account for zine making.
Oh,
everyone was like, oh, do you have a card? Are you on Instagram? And I was like, oh. So then I was like, I guess I'll make, you know, I'll do it, the Instagram thing. And I made my Andy Lee Instagram like that night. And I was so just motivated and inspired and excited and full of Smokehouse because that was a delicious choice.
That sounds so good.
It was such a good post Zine Fest choice. I just picked up a burger. Anyway, that's not really important to the story, but
that's where I get a, like, so when I do some of my best work is like post fest when I'm like supposed to just kind of be reveling in how good everything feels,
right?
I'll be like, but I could be doing, like,
right.
And I know 1 year after eBabes I was so inspired. I think it was my first eBabes 2014. I like went home and bought a printer.
Oh,
I was like, I gotta do this all the time. That was my first time tabling. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like Zine Fest really motivate me even post fest to just let things feel good and like keep working,
right.
But not in a way that's like forcing myself to do something for a time constraint.
You get that like feedback that's immediate, you know, even if people don't buy things, when they pick it up and you see them smile or like laugh or, you know, like connect with the work that you do, it's like, hell yeah, I want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes you sell out of stuff and you're like, oh shit, I guess I gotta like make more stuff.
Yeah.
I love that feeling. I love going to fest. It's super exhausting and like, I guess leading up to it, it can be like stressful. But once I'm there, it's like, even if it's a fest in a city that I'm like, I don't really know a whole lot of people, it's still like your built-in community, you know, it feels home and I feel comfortable and I guess I would say I'm like a pretty social person, but in those situations, sometimes it's hard to be social. It's like loud and a lot of stuff's going on, but I don't know. I like connecting with people that way. And, you know, some people like just stumble upon those things and they're like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, like they don't understand
like
the context of stuff. And, you know, not all zines are the same. So seeing people be like, oh, I've never seen work like this or, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. I get that high off of the Zine Fest.
I think that's the only reason we made it through our grapevine roadside debacle was because the fest was so great.
Yeah.
And we tabled together, which I had never requested to sit next to someone before. You had a full table, but we sat next to each other. And the person on the other side, Michaela.
Oh, Michaela.
So great.
It was before breakfast.
Yeah, so amazing. Is it she?
Yeah.
She's great. It was just so nice. And I think that, yeah, we were so, it carried us through the hard times of the car on the side of the road.
Yeah.
But we managed through.
Yeah.
But that was a really good Zine Fest.
I love Long Beach Zine Fest. The reason Kristen and I started tailing together was for the first Long Beach Zine Fest. That's when we became Queer Anxiety Babies.
Oh,
I remember being in the back of my like shitty cupcake job in the city, just like on my phone, filling out the form to table there and like texting Kristen and being mad that they wouldn't text me back immediately. I gotta fill this out now.
Yeah.
Well,
I think one of the things that I really liked about the Long Beach Zine Fest in particular was there were a lot more individuals coming up to me and asking for trades, which I feel like it's some of the Zine Fests that trading culture has died out a little bit. Not at all of them. I think at the Queer Zine Fest, it was strong. But at some of the bigger ones, I feel like, you know, folks don't want to trade all the time or that, you know, I don't know, which is whatever floats your boat. I love trade. So the Long Beach Zine Fest was great because a lot of folks came up and asked to trade. And a lot of folks who I don't think were tabling. I think it was a few of them were like people who seem to just be carrying their one zine around and like asking for trades with people who are tabling, which is I've done before.
I don't know about y'all, but I think in SoCal, there's just a bigger there's just like a bigger, like a, not necessarily respect, but like understanding that it's a part of a culture, you know, at least in the Bay Area, not to like talk shit about the Bay Area art scene or whatever, but it becomes almost like it's a business, you know, or like almost like you're competing with one another. So yeah. Sometimes people don't take too kindly to others like requesting to trade zines because it's almost like you're devaluing like their work ethic or like their efforts rather.
There's like camaraderie in SoCal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's one of the few places I think in the world where they still very much have the integrity of like community out there, you know, or it might not necessarily even be like that tight knit because it's so broad, but like, you know, once they figure out like, oh, you're into this thing and I'm into it, it's like, okay, this is like,
and they have Zine Fest literally every week.
Oh, I believe it.
There's I feel like there's a different SoCal Zine Fest every week.
Yeah,
it's amazing. San Diego.
San Fernando Valley just happened.
Yeah, and then Pomona's
coming up.
And then, didn't Ontario have their own?
Ontario.
They've got
their own
stuff.
Now.
Yeah.
No, they're all really like gung-ho about like whatever art weird thing you're into. It's like there's a scene for it and they're all about it. And it's not pretentious or like there's not a whole lot of gatekeeping that happens. It's just, you know, you make art, you put it out, people respond.
No one's like concerned with clout.
Yeah. Wish we could eradicate that in the Bay Area, but whatever.
This is turning into a shit talk.
I was going to say that I've found zines in the Bay Area largely not a gatekeeping thing, which has been really nice because I feel like a lot of art that I've encountered has been kind of gatekeeping. But zines, I don't know. They're just so accessible and like
totally,
anyone can make them. Anyone can learn to make them. Anyone can trade them or sell them or do whatever you want with them. Like, I love
zines so much. I want to do so many more zine themed art shows.
I'm down. This is a lot of fun.
Let's do another
you guys should do like an annual one.
I'm thinking like biannual.
Okay.
Make it happen.
Yeah. I walked in and I saw the banner.
And you cried.
I didn't cry, but I just walked in and did like a lap around the room and was just like, fuck, man. Opening night was so like,
it was a dream.
It just felt so nice because I've never done an art show. I've never had my art in a show. I've never thrown one. Like, this was an entirely new experience. And just seeing people interact with my art and like see everyone's interpretations of what a zine is. Mm-hmm. But like when I told people they could color in the dogs, they were like, oh really? And I was like, yeah.
The dogs came out amazing.
Yeah. I did my dog and my friend's dog, and I definitely want to take my dogs home and put it in my garage probably. Because it's not just a rasterbated printout anymore. It's like, it's a real ass art piece. That's wild to me.
It's so good.
You did that.
I did that. Drew that dog.
And you walk that dog.
And I walk that dog and I brush that dog. I do all kinds of things with that dog. She is mine now. But
and you're used too. And she was here for install. Oh,
she was here for install. She just hung out.
We're talking about Annie. I'm sure you've talked about Annie.
I haven't.
No, we haven't. This is the first podcast.
In months.
A year.
Year?
Mayor got a dog named Annie.
I got a dog.
I haven't met them yet, but they are my best friend.
Yeah, Annie is a wonderful dog. And maybe someday she'll make a zine.
Oh, you should have her on the podcast.
She doesn't make any noise. You just trot. Oh yeah, I was gonna say only noise she makes is like trotting around our hardwood.
Should we do plugs?
Yeah, let's do plugs. Long Beach Zine Fest was great.
It was so good.
Rock Paper Scissors, thank you for having us for this art show and for letting us record in your space.
A literal dream, and for letting us host a poetry reading and a zine workshop.
Yes. The zine workshop was Hot Dad Calendar Distro, which is my new distro with Kristen and our friend Nico. And it was about zines and friendship, and it was real cute. And aww. I'll have the zine. We made a collaborative zine
with like collage and Fujifilm photos. That wasn't a plug. yeah, I'll probably have it on Etsy soon. I think we're going to carry it and we're going to do a series of friendship zines because that rules. Those are two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
E-Babes, December 7th, ebabz.org is where you can find the application form. Bay Area Queer Zine Fest, obviously.
There's Santa Cruz, too.
Santa Cruz Zine Fest is coming up. You can apply. Google Santa Cruz.
Yeah. They're on Facebook.
Okay, they're on Facebook.
Yes. Or Instagram.
Instagram.
I don't think they have on Instagram.
Somebody hit me
Somebody
up.
Has
Someone.
Yeah,
someone. I don't remember.
Yeah. Somebody. Do you have anything else you want to plug?
Oh.
Yeah, you've got several.
Yeah, the Knighted Life First Amendment Zine, October 12th. In San Francisco, our address is 1000 Howard. It's on 6th and Howard in Soma. It's free, 12 to 6 p.m. Zines, prints, cool stuff. I will probably be selling some of my work there too. Oh, and then this Saturday at Abrams Cloghorn in Albany, there's a print fair and artisans fair going on at the gallery. And we're at 1251 Solano Ave.
I'll be there.
Andy will be there.
I'll be there maybe with new prints, but honestly, probably not.
But I will. I have bad news. It's probably going to be on Saturday.
That's well, okay. It happened. Just
you should have gone.
You should have gone.
Fake ass friends. I'll have a new skate deck, though.
Oh, tight.
I've got a new skate deck that's done.
Excellent.
I printed on it.
That counts.
It's a Xerox transfer.
Yeah.
It counts.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I think there's going to be a mixture. It's toted as a print sale, but there's going to be a lot of not print stuff there.
Yeah. Too. I mean, so that'll be, I'm stoked on that. That'll be good. And then I don't think I have anything else. San Diego Zine Fest, first weekend in October. That'll be good. There's a lot of Zine Fest that weekend.
Really?
The New York City Queer Zine Fest is also that weekend.
Oh, wow.
And the Albuquerque?
Oh, Albuquerque Zine Fest, yeah.
Yeah, which is run by really nice folks, too.
Yeah.
I met them in Denver.
I met them in L.A.
So nice.
Yeah. Vancouver Art Book Fair is coming up at the end of October. I was supposed to go to that, or middle of October, but can't go. I'm always taking submissions for Karaoke Zine.
Mm. Ooh, I was in that. I love it.
I was in that. The first one was great. I just finished the second one, and I'm waiting on printing it. So that's coming, but I'm always taking submissions. And then Zine of the Hill 3, currently looking for submissions for that as well. I'll have links in the information area of the podcast.
I have two themes I'm taking submissions for.
Okay, ooh, tell us about
it. One of them is called, I mean, I don't know what it's called, but I'm trying to do a poly positive zine.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I'm polyamorous. So
nice. Yeah.
I'm into it.
Because one of my first zines that I wrote was about my first attempt at polyamory, which was a disaster. So it was a really sad zine. Mm-hmm. But it's not polyamory's fault. So I'm trying to come up with a new one that's positive poly experiences. So
cool.
You should definitely submit.
I'll submit.
Anyone who is practicing ethical non-monogamy or has practiced it in the past I'm taking submissions of all kinds, just positive experiences that you've had with ethical non-monogamy, whatever that means to you. And then the other zine that I'm always taking submissions for is my definitions of a fuckboy zine, which I've been taking... I've been taking definitions at zine fairs for the past few months. So right now, all of my submissions have been on little pieces of scrap paper that people write when they visit my table. But I'm also taking submissions on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, you can send me a message at Andy_Lake, at Andy with an I. And whatever your definition of a fuckboy is, or if you have a non-binary alternative for the phrase, I'm taking both of those submissions.
I love that. You know, we should collaborate on this zine. So the zine that I was supposed to bring today, it's called Sunday Statistics, and it's about, it's a zine about love, kind of, sort of. It's more just like dating in the 21st century. And there's poems, there's prose, there's comics, there's illustrations, all about just like what loving in this day and age, like, is about. And
right.
Yeah, you should. I guess this is my first zine of this. This is the one I'm talking. I took submissions from Instagram and put together in like a couple nights, but I've been taking submissions for like a year, but I think I still have a bunch of stuff left over that I'll probably make the second one real soon. Nice. And I would love if you contributed, or if anybody contributed.
Yeah.
I'm Prima Verde on Instagram. It's Prima, P-R-I-M-A dot Verde, like the salsa. So yeah, you should contribute. So, I would, yeah. It's a lot of content there.
Yeah.
Well,
we did it.
Thank you both for bearing with me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for this platform. I love this.
Hell yeah. Now that I have a 9-to-5 and don't hate my entire life, I'm going to start doing this more often. So stay tuned.
Yay. Thanks, right. Listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace.
Bye.